4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1 out of every 4 adults, according to the survey, is mentally ill. Did you know, according to the survey, between 5 and 8% of Americans are depressed? Did you know, according to the survey, depression is the leading cause of disability in America. Do you hear me? Depression is the leading cause of disability in America. Did you know, according to the article, that by the year 2020, it's 2015 right now, we're talking about 5 more years. In 5 years, according to the projections, depression and mental illness will be the leading cost of health care. And did you know, listen, Ben, look up here. Did you know, according to the article, men are 4 times as likely to commit suicide than women? Can you imagine? Men are 4 times as likely to commit suicide as women. Now, if that seems a little bit far-fetched to you, I did a little reflecting even yesterday. I was riding down the road, and I remember a 33-year-old young man. I'm not going to tell you who it was, but it's right up the road. It's, of course, it's facts. And I talked with this young man. He came to church, and it wasn't long after that he took a gun and shot himself and killed himself, 33 years old. It wasn't long after that, and I was reflecting on the last number of years. A young man in his 40s, I talked with him, he sat in church before, and the next thing you know, he ODs, and he commits suicide. And we had a man just a few months ago, 21 years old, to take a gun and shoot himself. The list goes on. I could tell you over and over again of the incidences that are not only happening in the church, but outside the church. Suicide. Why am I saying this? Did you know, according to this survey and according to the research, that a person experiences a mental health problem before they're 14 years old? That's 50% recognize there's some mental illness issues before they're 14. 50%. But according to the article, 75% understand and can see there's some mental illnesses before they're 24 years old. What am I saying? I'm saying right now we're living in a time of great discouragement, not only outside the church, but in the church. I dare say there's probably not one, not two, not three, but more than that sitting here this morning. And you're discouraged. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're trying to cover it up. Maybe you've been somewhat despondent. I don't know, but I know this, there's hope in the Lord. And I know this, that the Lord put this message on my heart to you to share with you today, that hope seen in 2015. Last week, some of you were here, you recall that the message God had me to share last week was greater things seen in 2015. But today, hope seen in 2015. And did you know, speaking of hope, as we come to the Lord's table today, there's hope in Jesus. Reminds me of a little boy, 5 years old, that was saying to his granddad, he said, "Granddad, I want to tell you a secret." Can I tell you all a secret this morning? He said, "Granddad, I want to tell you a secret." It was a few days before Christmas. His granddad said, "What do you want to tell me, son?" He said, "Granddad, I want to tell you a secret." And so granddad leaned down and grandson leaned in and he said, "Granddad, here's the secret. Grandma and I got you a blue shirt for Christmas. That's the secret." And granddad said, "Okay. Can I tell you a secret? I want to tell you a secret. Jesus is not only the way, but he's the truth and he's the life." He said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Somebody's well said, if he's not the way, there is no going. If he's not the truth, there is no knowing. And if he's not the life, there is no growing. He is the way, the truth, the life. And he's the answer. Now, I'm not saying that in some certain situations that medical help might be needed, but in oftentimes, it's the Word of God and the Lord Jesus can help. And I believe that people are depressed today. I believe that people are down today. I believe that now after Christmas, the hoopla and the lights and the presents and all of the stuff that goes with Christmas from a commercial a point of view, it's over, and now we're facing the bills of January, taxes due in January, the cold weather in January, and it really lets us know if we've really been attached to Jesus or if we're caught up in the emotional upheaval of Christmas and Thanksgiving and such. Well, today I've got a feeling there's some of us today that need a word of encouragement. Some of us, seasons have come and gone, and now you're looking at another season. And in order to stay up, in order to stay encouraged, it seems like we have to go through certain seasons in our life rather than letting our joy be in Jesus. And can I tell you, there are three reasons why we ought to have hope today. And I want to invite you to turn to me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. Three reasons. We'll probably only have time to deal with two because we're going to come around the Lord's table in just a little while. But three reasons why we ought to be dedicated to Jesus today. Three reasons why we ought to not only be dedicated to the Lord and know Him personally, not just about Him, but we ought to be motivated, listen to me, to live each day in 2015 for the glory of the Lord. None of us know how much more time we have. We may have just a few days here in 2015. You know, Bill Bailey, our dear brother who went to be the Lord last week, there's no doubt he didn't know how much time he had. You say, how do you know that, Brother Pastor? I remember Brother Bill was sitting right here in the round tables when we had homecoming. I remember Brother Bill in August, the first Sunday in August. I remember talking with Brother Bill. He had no idea he had lung cancer. He had no idea what would transpire over the next few months. Neither do we. We know God is in control. That is, but hey, it was after that, Brother Bill told me, he said, Brother Randy, that was a tremendous, I enjoyed that homecoming service. So I'm saying that to say this, we must, God help us to be motivated to live every day with the power of God on us, making a difference. Here's where we're going. Two reasons, really three. Number one, the first reason is that Jesus died for my wrong and your wrong. Literally, Jesus died for our sins. But he was resurrected from the grave. He died for my wrong, but he was resurrected to make things right, number one. And we'll see that in a moment. But number two, he died not only for my sins and your sins and the sins of the whole world, but number two, he suffered for us. Listen to me. And he called you and me to suffer along with him. I know that's not a popular message today. I understand that people want the easy route out today. And the comfort zone in the normal average Christian today wants nothing to do with suffering at all. But look with me, please, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. I hope this will bless you today. I hope this will encourage you today. I believe it's going to motivate us to live each day to the fullest and to love the Lord with all of our heart, to serve Him with gladness while we've got time here on earth. The first reason is found in 1 Peter chapter 1. And it's this, that Jesus died for us. He died for my wrong and your wrong. He died for our sins. He died for our transgressions. And yet he arose. He was resurrected. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. If you're able, if you'd like to stand, we'll stand and just read a few verses from the Word of God this morning and keep your Bibles open to 1 Peter. As you're standing, let me remind you who Peter is, who he's writing to, and where he's at. Peter's writing to a bunch of Christians here, believers in modern-day Turkey, Bithynia, Cappadocia. And we'll see some locations. Many say that Peter was writing the theme because they were being persecuted. Now listen, beloved, we are seeing a little bit of persecution in America, but nothing compared to like what the Christians that are being slaughtered by the hundreds and the thousands over in Iraq and over in Syria. Now I know our freedoms are being taken from us here in America, and it ought to concern us, but in all actuality, we're not suffering in comparison compared to many of our brothers and sisters throughout the world. Can I get an amen? Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 following. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect, the word elect is electos. It means to pick out, to choose. Elect according to the foreknowledge Prognosis is the word foreknowledge. That is, God knows beforehand. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification. Hagios, the word sanctification, setting apart. Through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. That means born again. He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Not a dead hope, but a lively hope. The word hope there, I want to remind you again, is elpis in the Greek language, which means a confident expectation. It's not a maybe so and, could be so, but it's rather is so. Look, lively hope, verse 3, a lively hope, the last part of it, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the word of God. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the quickening of the Holy Spirit of God. I thank you, Jesus, that we can face tomorrow, we can face this coming year, because, Lord, you've got a great plan for us. You're a great God and greatly to be praised. And we come this morning with praise and thanksgiving because you sure have been good to me. You sure have been good to us as a church, Lord. And I pray you'll forgive me and forgive us, Father, of not praising you and not thanking you and not worshiping you and not loving you more. Oh, God, everything that we are, all that we have, you are worthy of it all. I pray you'll break us free from idols today. You'll deliver us from complacency and apathy and backsliding. Oh, blessed Jesus, turn, set some fires in our soul. Lord, help us to get hungry for you and your word. We thank you now and praise you that you are trustworthy. We bless you and praise you, Jesus, for dying for my sins and the sins of the whole world. I ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost of God, turn heaven's light on us today. Show us, shine in the deep recesses of our hearts. We don't even know our hearts, Lord. That's what you told us. Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I pray, Father, please, you'll bring us into freedom. Bring us into victory through the blood of your Son and through the cleansing of the washing of water by the word and by, Father God, the mighty indwelling Spirit of God. Lord, we need you today. We got to have you today. Oh, Father, send the mighty power of heaven upon us and wake up this nation and wake up this community and wake up, dear Lord, those that are hellbound, that are slipping and sliding down to the slippery slopes of an eternal abyss, will never have another prayer and never have another hope and never, Lord, be able to see this side of a burning lake of fire. I pray, God, that you burden us for the lost and you burden us for your work and you burden us to see your church explode and your church be vibrant and dynamic. Oh, blessed God, we ask now to lead us on. Lord, we know there's some battles out there. We know there's some wars out there, but you're the captain of our salvation. Hallelujah. You are the winning warrior. You are the worthy lamb. You are the one who was and is to come. And we bless you and love you today because, our God, you had the keys to death and hell. And we pray, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today. Move on our hearts. Lord, give us grace to turn our eyes on you and let loose of the things of the world and carnality and worldliness and selfishness. Oh, precious Lord, crucify this old ugly flesh of ours and Lord, fill us overflowing with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Make us witnesses and lights that are shining in this dark and desperate, hell-bound world. Oh, Father God, come, sweet Spirit of the living God, and fall fresh on us today. And we thank you now and praise you because you alone are worthy. You woke us up this morning and allowed us to be here. For that, our God, we can say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for our eternal destiny being settled and sealed by the blood of the Lamb of God. And we just ask now for you to have the preeminence in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Number one, how can we have hope? Why can we have hope? Number one, because Jesus died for my wrong, but he was resurrected for my right. Word of God declares that Jesus was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your and my peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. That's Isaiah 53 verse 6. The scripture says in Isaiah 53 verse 4. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Verse 4 and 5. See, he literally, listen to me. Now listen, if you've gotten over this, you're backslidden from God. This is not talking about a possum you saw dead on the road. This is not talking about an armadillo that was run over the road. When we talk about the death of Christ, why is it that we've so gotten used to it that it becomes commonplace to us? I'll tell you what. When the scripture and when the message of the cross becomes commonplace to us, we're backslidden from God. And we're far from God. I pray the Spirit of God will break up the fallow ground in our heart today to recognize the awful price Jesus paid for you and for me and our redemption. Listen to me, beloved. I know we hear it all the time, but I don't get tired of telling the story. My wrongs to make them right. How many know the hardest thing to do is to admit and say those two hard words, which are? Sit with me. I'm sorry. Say it again. It's hard to do that, isn't it? It's hard to do that, isn't it, husband? It's hard to do that, isn't it, wife? It's hard to do that, isn't it, young person? It's hard to do that, isn't it? Why? Because we live in a culture and a generation that wants to blame everything else on everybody else instead of our where it really should be, and that's with me. It's me. Tell me, when's the last time you got honest with God? Tell me, when's the last time you got transparent with God? Oh, I know it's always their fault. I know it's never our children's fault. It's the teacher's fault. It's the policeman's fault. It's the church's fault. When are we going to grow up and stop being infants and get on the meat of the word and stop drinking the milk of the word and stop blaming everybody else for us and our children and start saying, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer? I know that's not popular preaching, but I didn't come to be popular today. If you want popular preaching, go on your television, turn on the tube, and you can find all the sugarcoating and ear-tickling that you want. And that's where a lot of people are going today. They don't want to hear the unadulterated word of God. They'd rather hear some positive psychology instead of hearing the word of God. I want you to know it's not fixing America. America's problem and need is to repent and get back to Jesus. I'm wrong. You know what? Sometimes it's hard to admit when I'm wrong. It's hard to admit when you're wrong. When's the last time you admitted you were wrong? When's the last time you admitted your sin? Have you asked God to forgive you today? Oh, has it been a while? Why has it been a while? Have you been so busy at that time to wait upon the Lord and really get honest with God and get clean before the Lord? That's what we're here today. Amen. Glory to God. But wait a minute. You know what happened to me? Case in point. I want to illustrate by this. Not long ago, it was just a few days ago, speaking of our wrong and our making it right, I was leaving a certain place. It was at night, and I got in my car and started driving in my car, and I came up to this particular place, and I was in my car. I just left this certain place, and about the time I got to this certain place, I noticed that this, it was not really a four-way intersection, but I had the right-of-way. And I noticed this truck came right in front of me, cut right in front of me. I mean, it was just, I had the right-of-way, and the truck just ran right in front of me. Can I be honest with you? I thought to myself, who in the world is that driving that truck? Y'all don't look at me like you're so spiritual. I thought to myself, you could have caused a wreck. Have you ever said that? Y'all don't look at me like you're so pious. You know you said the same thing. And I'm thinking to myself, who in the world is this driving that truck? I had the right of way. I could have hit him. It could have caused a wreck. And all of a sudden, I looked down and realized my lights were not on. I was driving without my lights. It wasn't his fault, it was my fault. And you know, the Spirit of God showed me right there, son. A lot of times you're fault-finding other people, and it's really you that needs to do business and be honest with God. And you see, we want to criticize other people. I'm preaching to a crowd today that I know I'm not the only one that's like that. Hello. I'm preaching to a crowd today that you've developed a judgmental attitude and spirit, haven't you? Oh, it's easy to do. But oftentimes it's our fault. And again, the sooner we recognize that, the better off we're going to be. Our wrong. Jesus died for our wrong. Listen, we can come to the Lord's table today and act like everything's okay and play the game and go through the motions and pretend like all is well and you know, just the regular routine ritual, just do the thing. But God, may I suggest to you, wants me to examine my heart. And God wants you to examine your heart. And in the light of our business, we need to take some time this morning. I think there's some others of us besides me that need to get clean. I think there's some others of us that it's been a while since you've done some house cleaning. It's been a while since you've confessed some sin, isn't it? I believe it has, because we all can get caught up in the business and things going on in our life. But Jesus came to make our wrong right. Well, how did he do that, Brother Pastor? How did he do that? Have you ever heard of the man, Dr. Kent Brantley? Has anybody heard of Dr. Kent Brantley? He is a medical missionary. And he was going to Africa. How many have heard about the Ebola virus? The Ebola virus, Dr. Kent Brantley, the medical missionary, was the first American to come back with the Ebola virus. According to the report I read, Dr. Kent Brantley contracted this terrible, loathsome disease called Ebola. By the way, there's some that say this time next year, either we're going to say, thank God it wasn't worse than it was, or we're going to say, man, we've got a real problem on our hands. I don't know. Only God knows. But I know this, 7,000 and almost 900 people have died because, I realize they're mostly by and large over in Africa, but let me tell you about Dr. Kent Brantley. Dr. Kent Brantley, a Christian, found out he had Ebola virus. Here's what he prayed, knowing he might die. Not a single soul had he ever seen live through the Ebola virus. And he prayed this. He said, God, help me to be faithful, whether I live or whether I die, to be faithful to you, Lord, is my prayer. And then he said that through all of it, Lord, that you might get glory. Would you pray that prayer? Do you think you're strong enough spiritually to pray that prayer? If you knew you might die, would you pray, God, help me to be faithful? Would you pray, Lord, in and through this, may you get glory? It's a challenge to us, isn't it? I saw Brother Bill Bailey fading away, and I saw Brother Bill Bailey and not knowing that what his destination as far as living or dying. I'm telling you, let's go ahead and purpose in our heart, Lord, whether we live or die. No wonder Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But wait a minute, let me tell you the rest of the story. Dr. Kent Brantley, did he live? You know what it is? He got some plasma, blood from a 14-year-old in Liberia. And lo and behold, as he got that plasma, it evidently, the antibodies in that plasma fought off the virus. Wait a minute, I'm going somewhere. Do you know that Dr. Kent Brantley came back to the United States, or at least the count says that a nurse was also infected with the Ebola virus? And guess what? They drew blood from Dr. Kent Brantley. He was diagnosed, by the way, in July and August of 2014. And this account is recent, this testimony. They drew blood from him and took the blood out of one that had overcome. I said they took blood from somebody who had conquered this virus. They took some blood. It couldn't be any old blood. It had to be the blood of an overcomer. It had to be the blood, the plasma, that had the capability and the capacity. capacity to overcome, to fight the virus, to kill the virus. They took that blood from Dr. Kent Brantley and injected it into this nurse. Guess what happened? She overcame too. It was the power of the blood. It was the blood one had overcome. I want to tell you, when we approach the Lord's table this morning, it's because one has overcome, whereby we don't have to fear death anymore. Death has lost its sting. We don't have to be afraid of the sting of death, nor the consequences of sin. Why? Because one has overcome. It was Moses who wrote in Leviticus 17:11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. For this reason I put it upon the altar, to make atonement for the soul." It is in the blood that makes atonement for the soul. It was Moses who wrote in Exodus chapter 12, remember that great deliverance whereby the children of Israel were miraculously, supernaturally delivered out of Egypt. And God said, "Take the blood of a lamb without spot, without blemish, put it on the doorpost, put it on the lintels, and when the death angel passes over the homes, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. My wrath will pass over. My condemnation will pass over. My judgment will pass over." I want you to know, Paul picked up his pen and said in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, "Christ is our Passover." That's why one has overcome. The plasma, the blood of Jesus. For Paul wrote and said, "We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Do you realize that God is so holy, that God is so just, God is so righteous, he must judge sin, he must punish sin. That's where the word propitiation is found in 1 John 2 and 2. He, Christ Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation is a big word, but it means, the word halasmos is in the Greek language, which means to satisfy a holy God. God must be vindicated. God's wrath must be satisfied. Why? Because all have sinned. Why? Because we've all missed the mark. Why? Because the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But God, through his darling son, was willing to offer him up as a sacrifice. And he, the word of God says, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It was not his education, not his teaching that saves us. It was not his miraculous birth that saves us. Rather, it was his vicarious, substitutionary, sacrificial, atoning death on the cross. It was his blood that saves us. It is his blood that makes us clean. It's the blood of the Lamb of God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want you to know, there is still power in the blood. The blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Peter said it this way. He said, "We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb without spot, without blemish." John in Revelation chapter 5 says there's going to be a great multitude coming out of the great tribulation, having their robes and washed white in the blood of the Lamb. No wonder in Revelation 1:5, John says, "And to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." The word "washed" there is the word lupio, which means to loose us. I'm glad to say, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to say, though my sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He has redeemed us. The word "redeem" is agorizai, which means to purchase. Folks, when we come to the Lord's table, don't you think it's a cheap price? No! Jesus willingly, sacrificially, voluntarily said, "No man takes my life, I have the power to lay it down and raise it up again." He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And oh, listen, listen, the blood. I know today it's not a popular message. I know people are trying to cut it out of the Bible, but you can't cut it out of the Bible, because Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Tell me, have you been washed in the blood? Tell me, have you been cleansed by the blood? You say, but I've been saved. I didn't ask you that. That's good. That's the first question. But 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's to Christians. It's not to people who are being saved. It's katharizai, meaning present tense, goes on and on and on, cleansing us. You say, but brother pastor, I've been saved. I've been hearing these preachers on television, on the radio. They're saying, once I've been saved, I don't have to confess my sins anymore. My sins are past, present, future. They're all forgiven. I do not deny that God has forgiven our sin. The question is not, watch. It's not sonship. The question is fellowship. In order to have fellowship with God, we've got to walk in the light as he's in the light and be clean with him. If you don't believe that, check out the tenses of those verbs, and you'll see very clearly that if we confess our sins, John's writing to Christians, not to those that are lost. If we confess our sins, homologamon, admit, then he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, listen, beloved. Listen, beloved. Hope. I'm convinced that a lot of people are depressed today, and a lot of people are feeling guilty today, and a lot of people don't like their self, and they don't like where they're at because they're dealing with this guilt. You weren't meant to deal with guilt. When we disobey God, there's a red light that beep, 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 beep. Something's wrong. We've committed an error. We were meant to be in fellowship with God from the very get-go. But you see, when we take our eyes off the Lord, when we disobey the Lord, then we get out of fellowship with God. And if we watch, if we don't deal with it right away, then we can try to blame it on other people, but we get further and further from God, and God eventually has to chastise us, amen, and bring us back to himself, because whom the Lord loves, he chastens, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 5. Well, so, hope, what we've done wrong, to make it right. And then second and last, and I'll be done, and it's found in chapter 3. Not only hope, but listen, beloved, it's time the blood-washed church gets serious, more serious. I'm preaching to myself. But the problem with America today is not lost people doing what they're doing, although that is a problem. Y'all don't miss this. The problem with America today is so many backslidden Christians not standing up for truth and righteousness, not living holy. Can I get an amen? That's the problem. And I fit in that category, and you fit in that category. And so you get the blood-washed church right, man, we'll turn this community upside down. Well, for the glory of God. Chapter 3 of 1 Peter. And look at this. In verse number 14. Number 2, Jesus calls us to suffer. I know we don't like that. It's not a positive message, preacher. Stick with the positive preaching now. Stop all this negative stuff. Well, only problem is, it's in the Bible, friend. And when you read the Bible, you can't cut pages out and just sugarcoat everything you want to find good in there. You got to take everything in between Genesis and Revelation. Can I get somebody to say amen? That's one of the difficulties we're having today. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. Chapter 3 and verse 14. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Chapter 3, verse 14. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready to answer every man that asketh you a reason of the hope. There it is again. The hope. Do you have hope today? The hope that's within you. With meekness and with fear, having a good conscience, that wherein they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ, the way you're living. Look at verse 17. For it's better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing, for Christ. Look at verse 18. For Christ suffered for us. He's also suffered for our sins. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us back to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. If you would look over in 1 Peter chapter 2, look at that in case you're wondering. Well, that doesn't say that, Brother Pastor. 1 Peter 2, 21. Look at 1 Peter 2, 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Christ suffered for us. Are you willing to suffer? You know, our challenge is we want to take the easy road out. We want to compromise. We want to fit into the world. No wonder John said, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of God. Can I just be frank with you this morning? I know when I'm backslidden from God. And I love you. I do. I love you with all my heart. I love New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. My whole life has centered around New Rocky Creek Baptist Church, and will until the Lord carries me home or leads me elsewhere. I love the church. I love the people in the church. But listen, folks, I know what God wants to do in my life and your life. And I want to urge you, don't settle for anything less than heaven's best. I've got a feeling God wants to do more things in my life, and God wants to do more things in your life, but we've just got to get in position. You say, but Brother Pastor, well, how do I do that? You see, we're not puppets. God doesn't pull a string and we live the Christian life. No, not at all. We cooperate with the Lord. We cooperate with the Lord. We're looking at 1 Peter, Garrett, in chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And so, God, as I was saying, God does not pull our string like a puppet. Rather, God, he expects you and me to crucify the flesh. He expects you and me to be willing to come under his lordship. Tell me, is the flesh in control of your life? Tell me. You know how I can tell I get backslidden? See if you can tell how you get backslidden. You know how I can tell I get backslidden? When church is boring to me, I'm backslidden from God. If you're sitting here this morning, you're not getting anything out of the Word of God and the message, don't look at the messenger, look at the Word. If you don't get anything out of the Word, you're backslidden from God. Hey, we've opened up the Word, and I've been talking about Jesus dying for our sins. And if that doesn't move you, you're backslidden from God. I'm just being as frank as I know how to say it. Amen. That's as frank as I know how to say it. And if we are not moved, I know I'm backslidden from God when church just becomes a routine and songs. And I fit in this category too. I know I'm backslidden from God when the songs don't move me, the preaching doesn't move me. I'm cold as a block of ice. I'm backslidden from God. I know I'm backslidden from God. How do I know that? When worldly things are more attracting to me, and when I'm running after idols in my life, and when things, listen to me, this is going to hurt now. I love you, but I'm preaching myself. There's some things in our life that may not be sin necessarily, but Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, look it up. He said, all things are profitable to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are profitable to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You see, sometimes, and I can tell when I'm backslidden from God, prayer is not a passion on my heart. If you can go for days without praying and not communing with the God like we get at times, it shows that we're backslidden from God. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Like I said earlier, I pointed to myself, when I get a critical attitude and a judgmental spirit about everybody else and don't really examine my own heart before the Lord, it shows me I'm backslidden from God. When I lose my passion, listen to me, when's the last time you saw somebody get saved? A week? A few days? When's the last time you witnessed somebody? You say, oh, pray, preacher, you're always talking about this legalism. Listen, friend, if you have to do it because God, you think he's going to have a bullwhip over you and whip you because if you don't do it, you've got the misconception of God. And not only do you have a misconception of God, something's wrong in your life because the Lord changes our want to want to please him. It's not something I have to do, it's something I want to do. Don't miss it. Don't miss it, because people will leave out of church and say, oh, that preacher, he's always talking about this legalistic stuff. I need to read my Bible, I need to go to church, and I need to witness and all these things. Well, if you think that's a checklist and that's what God is requiring of you in order to be in fellowship with Him, you missed the boat about who God is. It's a love relationship. He puts in our heart to want to be around the people of God, doesn't He? Let me tell you something. Young generation, y'all listen a minute. I'm not picking on you, but I want to share something that I heard here and I just want to get y'all's feedback on it, okay? I heard recently that the younger generation wants to be more spiritual. Well, I say glory. Hallelujah. But then, you know what else they say? And this is the thing that's coming out. The young folks say, we want to be more spiritual, but we don't want church. We don't want organized religion. How many have heard that? It's a big thing. There's a generation out there, there's a culture out there, there's a world out there that wants to be spiritual, but they don't want anything to do with the church. You know what I say to that person? Well, I can hear what you're saying, but there's only one problem. How do you get around this book? How do you get around so many epistles written to churches? How do you get around the church of Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, Thessalonica, and all the seven churches in Revelation? How do you get around the thing that Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it? There's a big problem when somebody says they want to be spiritual, but they don't want anything to do with the church. Wrong! You need to get the Bible and read it. And this is very prominent. Y'all listen to what I'm saying. A spirituality without the scripture and without the church. Oh, there's not a perfect church. No, there's not a perfect church. But you know what Jesus said about the tares and the wheat? He said, even the farmer can't distinguish between them. But the last time, in the harvest time, they'll be separated at the end. Somebody says, oh, but at the churches, all them hypocrites go down to church. I'm just as good as any hypocrite. I've often said, you might be right about that. Come on and join. We can always use one more. Amen. One more hypocrite. But God's going to deal with the hypocrites. And then somebody says, well, I'm just as good as those folks down there, the church down there. I'm just as good as them. Oh, really? Guess what? You got to be better than them. Are you serious? Yeah, I'm serious. Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. You show me a man that's perfect, and I'll show you a man that lies. Here's the deal. I went to Waffle House the other day, and I ordered 3 scrambled eggs. I said, I want some scrambled eggs. I like cheese on them. How many like scrambled eggs? Let me see your hand. Anyway, I got 3 scrambled eggs. What would it have been like if I'd have got down at the table, sat down at the table, and said, oh, we forgot to tell you there. Here's your 3 scrambled eggs, but one of them's rotten. 2 are good. 2 are good. 2 are good. Just one's rotten. Would I eat it? No. And that's the way it is with the human heart. It's not what you haven't done. It's what have you done with Jesus. Hello. Oh, but I don't cuss, and I don't drink, and I don't beat my wife, and I don't commit adultery. Well, good. But what do you do with Jesus? Hello? Come on. What have you done? Have you repented? Have you received Him? If not, you'll bust hell wide open. Why? Because Jesus was the only one that lived the life of perfect obedience, and thus, through His blood, our sins can be forgiven. Only. Bottom line is this, and I'll close. We need a change. We got to have a change. Thank God I've been changed. I'm not what I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen. Old brother Bill said it best. Bill Bailey. He said, Brother Randy, I shared this at his home gun service on Wednesday. He said, Brother Randy, I said, yes, sir. He said this a few months ago. He said, I talked with Brother Sonny. How many remember Brother Sonny? Friends. I miss these dear brothers, my, and sisters as well, Carolyn and others. He said, Brother Bill, said to Brother Bill Bailey, said to Brother Sonny, I said to Brother Sonny, how in the world, Brother Sonny, do you get such a good-looking wife like Mary? No, Brother Sonny spoke up and said, Brother Bill, I ain't always looked like this, all right? I ain't always looked like this. Can I tell y'all something? I ain't always looked like this either. Glory be to God. I've been changed. Have you been changed? Let's stand together, okay?